But it's on. I had a tough decision to make this morning about this morning's message. We're kicking off a new series in Sunday school, and they asked me to take the first lesson in Sunday school. It's a new quarter. So I debated, do I want to speak to you guys or do I want to teach my Sunday school class? And the subject is interesting. It's the subject of the Sunday school class is Balaam's talking donkey. So do I want to talk to you guys or do I want to talk about Balaam's talking donkey? So, see you guys later. I even asked Nancy to put it in the bulletin and the title of the bulletin. It's the title on the front cover, and we're talking about our verse this morning about this is the day that the Lord has made. And I said, put in there slash Balaam's talking donkey. And she said, I can't do that. I won't do that. Smart girl, I said to her. I said, that's the reason. I knew there was a reason I married you. So anyway, this morning we're going to start with a song. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I didn't ask them to play it through once just so we have the tune. I'll have them play it through once. We're going to do the echo. It's this is the day that the Lord has made. And then on there's an echo, and the woman will sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. We should be glad, and you'll see it as we show the slides for it. And the slides are courtesy Andy Lowe. He created these slides as we go through. But we'll play it through once before we get into the slides, just so you get the tune. This is the day. This is the day for the woman that the Lord has made. We should be glad. We should be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We should be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day. This is that the Lord has made. Okay, I think a lot of you know it, and we're going to sing it through twice. We're going to sing it through when we have slides in the major key, and the second time we're going to sing it through in a minor key, and you just follow. And the woman come in on the second part of that, and I think it'll sound really nice. Ready? First slide. Ready? This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We should be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We should be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made. Okay, thank you very much. There's several translations to that, and in the front of the bulletin, you notice it says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And in the King James, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And there's another other translations that said, we should be glad and rejoice in it. But we're using the King James, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Soft sand on the feet. Cool breezes blow in the leaves of the trees. And a hot summer day. blue skies are overhead, and the sound of the lapping of waves is heard from the nearby lake. What a perfect way to start a vacation. This is what life was made for, days like this that we can sit back and relax and take it all in. So a friend of mine described his first day of vacation. Wonderful day. Days are made. Life is made for days like this. Then he goes on to say, that's when it happened. Big blackbird chose my chest as his target practice. No warning, no sirens, no bombs away, just plop. He says, I got up and I just couldn't get over what happened. I washed my shirt. I took my shirt and washed it three times, and I moved my chair from under the tree. And I just couldn't quite get over the fact that this blackbird had used my chest for his target practice. There's a car wash that is near where a place that I used to work, and I don't go into it often. It's a very inexpensive car wash, but I don't go into it. But he has a sign, once in a while I do, but he has a sign when you come out of the car wash. He has a sign that says, come back soon. And the interesting thing about this car wash in the wintertime, in the summertime it doesn't make any difference, but he's got a line, two telephone poles, and he's got a line that stretches on those telephone poles. And in the summertime, no problem, but in the wintertime, this line is solidly lined up with birds that sit on this one line right outside of the car wash. No wonder he wants you to come often and come back again. But it's a line, and I've often wondered, I was going to stop and see, from November until March, any time you pass by, that line is loaded with birds. And I thought to myself, I wonder what his secret, and I've never done it. I was going to stop by and say, what do you have, heated wires over the top of there or something that birds gather? And so birds have a way of messing up our lives, don't they? Stupid birds, they fly over and they dirty our cars and they dirty our persons, and at the end, unexpected time, they plop into our lives. Stupid birds, aren't they? And my friend was saying this one bird that flew over, he seemed to give a high wing to his buddies in the tree, you know. I got my target. But birds mess things up. How about in our lives? Don't we get messed up in our lives day by day? Stupid birds, stupid things happen. We begin our day with good intentions. We begin our day with getting up and excited, and then it happens. A bird plops into our lives. We incur traffic jams, airport lines, lost luggage, friends forget. All of these things crowd into our lives and mess up our day. No wonder life is so stressful, and no wonder there's so many problems and difficulties. When we're planning a good day, bad things plop into our lives. And then there's those lines, you know, those long lines. There's wrinkle lines. There's unemployment lines. There's nauseating pickup lines where we wait and wait and wait. And these kind of things seem to enter our lives and to ruin what would otherwise be good days. I'm planning for a good day, but bad things happen. At work, I send and receive emails all day. And one of the interesting things about emails is, and I do it too, and almost everybody that sends me an email does the same thing I do. They end it with saying, have a great day. Have a good day. And we all wish that for someone. Have a great day. Have a blessed day. Have a wonderful day. That's the way I end my emails, and that's the way customers say me. And if they're going on vacation, have a great vacation. But we want people to have good days, and we want to have good days ourselves. It's just these ugly and unexpected things that go plop in our lives and ruin what is otherwise a beautiful day and turning it into a stressful situation. And what about those days of real crisis? Those days when all hope seems to be gone. The pink slip is still folded in some folks' pocket. And they're afraid to go home and tell their wives that they're out of work. What do you do on days like that? What does a woman do on a day that her husband comes home and says, I'm leaving for a younger, more attractive woman? What about days like that? What about days when we never leave the hospital bed or the wheelchair? What about days like that? Is it possible to have a good day on days like that? Most don't, but shouldn't we give it a try? The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Now, we would say, well, this is the day. That must mean wedding days. And perhaps it means Easter, and perhaps it means the first ball game or the first day of hunting. These are the this days. But what about those other days? This is the day. And we would love to swap that word and change it to the good days. This is the good days of the ones that the Lord has made. But what about the bad days? What about the tough days? Our verse is divided into two things. First of all, it says, it's a statement. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we can't do anything about that, can we? This is the day that we're dealt with, happy or exciting or things to look for or a day that we dread. But this is the day that the Lord has made. In the second part of that verse, it gives us our response. We should, or let us rejoice and be glad therein. Two separate things. God has made this day, and he designed this day in a past eternity. He laid the plans, and he arranged the situations, and he brought people together and things together, and he knows all about this day since the beginning of creation, and he created it. And then it asked, how do we respond? What's our response? And the psalmist says, let us be glad and rejoice therein. Every day deserves a fair shot. Every day deserves a chance at bat. Every day deserves an audition. And we should rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Another word we might want to change in the word. We should be glad and rejoice in it. Perhaps we might like to change it and say, we should be glad and rejoice when it's over. Or we should be glad and rejoice to get through it. Or we should be glad and rejoice when the day is done. But the psalmist says, and the scripture says, we should rejoice and be glad in it. And how do we do that? How does God ask us to rejoice and be glad in these tough, tough days? These days which we wish would never come and never be. And there's several examples in Scripture of folks that did just that. Remember the story of Silas and Paul? Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 15, and they were thrown in prison, and they were put in stocks, and they had every reason to complain, oh, this is a terrible day. We don't deserve this. We were preaching and proclaiming the message of God, and God has put us in the inner jail, in the inner stocks, and we complain. But not them. You see, this was the day that the Lord had made for them. And they had decided beforehand that they were going to rejoice in it. So what did they do? They sung and they praised God at midnight. And God shook that prison. And how about Daniel? He lived for God and he honored the king and he did his job perfectly. No one could find fault. And he ended up in a lion's den and he prayed in the lion's den. And Jonah prayed in the belly of a whale. And Shadrach, Meshach rejoiced in the fiery furnace. If they have done that, can't we rejoice in our day of trouble? What a difference that would make if we were to rejoice in times of hardship. Now, it's easy to rejoice when things go well and when everything is going the way that we should be and things are going, we're getting all A's in school and we're getting scholarships and our job, we got a promotion and wonderful days and we should rejoice. The problem is most of the time we don't rejoice in it. We take the credit to ourselves. But those are days in which we really should be rejoicing. But then how about in these tough days? In these days when things go wrong? In these really hard circumstances. You know, God has designed a day as a time management thing. A day is what we manage. God didn't say this is the hour because that would be way too short. We can't adjust to just 1 hour. And if God said this is the year that we should rejoice in God, that's way too long. A year is way, way too long to focus on and to try and steer our lives by. And so God has planned as time management one day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Just one day. And you know what happens? When we have a one day that we rejoice even in the midst of troubles, Then we get another day. And the next day, we try the same thing. And you know, when the day is over, it's not so bad. And then the next day, we try it. And pretty soon, days become weeks. And weeks become months. And our life is filled with good one day at a time. And hence, good lives are built. Good quality lives are built, not in a year, not in a month, but at a day at a time. And some people can look over a great good life, and it was built one day, one good day at a time, in which they trusted, in which they relied on the Lord, one good day at a time. What would happen if we grumbled less and praised more? If we complained less and we complimented more. If instead of moaning and groaning, we had a positive attitude, what would it be like today? What would it be like tomorrow? And hence, great and good lives are built one day at a time. But there's a problem in our building of our days. There's several problems, and there's several things that we have to remind ourselves is. The first thing is that yesterday is gone. When you went to bed and slept last night, you slept away yesterday, and it's gone. And it can't be changed. You can't rerun it. You can't reset the clock and do it right. It's gone. The second thing we have to remember is tomorrow is not here yet. And you can plan for it, but there's nothing that you can do for tomorrow today. It's a separate day, and it'll come tomorrow, but not today. And so what do we do with our lives? We fret and we worry and we drag all the problems of yesterday into today. And we worry and we wonder and before the day starts, it's ruined because we've taken yesterday's problems and brought them into today. And other people, they bring tomorrow's things and they try and move them forward. And they bring tomorrow's supposing troubles and they move them into today. And no wonder their day is so messed up, because it's filled with yesterday's problems and tomorrow's anticipations. And it's filled with ruin. And so the day starts off with not rejoicing in the Lord, but complaining. And the day starts off poor because we drag yesterday's problems and tomorrow's anticipation into the day, and the day is ruined. That's why Jesus says, this is the day, today. And the Lord has made it. And it's a special design day from the hand of God. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? Let us rejoice, said the psalmist. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Someone once said, and it's a quote, I have it in my notes, and no idea how to pronounce the person who read this. No idea. So I'm not even going to say who it is, but it's not my idea. And it's a wonderful thing, but here's what he said. If I can find it in my notes here. Put my glasses on. Worry gives small problems big shadows. And then he goes on to say, my life has been filled of terrible, terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened. Isn't that great? But isn't that what we do? We drag tomorrow ahead to today. And we worry about what happens tomorrow. And we drag yesterday's failures and griefs and we bring them into the day. And today is ruined before we even start. I remember when I first met Nancy, and she lived on the east side and I lived on the west side of Detroit. She came up here from teaching, and her folks came up. I had been down to see her folks, and we were engaged, and her folks came up, and she had an aunt that lived in Dearborn, and Nancy lived with on the east side. So her folks came up to stay at the house. So I went over to drove my car over to the house, and her mom and dad were there, and we were picking up Nancy and her mom and dad and driving them to Dearborn. And my father-in-law, he liked big cars, Buicks, and Oldsmobiles, 98s and 88s, and all those big cars. And he had a big Buick LeSabre, and I was poor. I had a 64 Volkswagen, and I had another nicer car, but not the big car. So my father-in-law says to me, "You drive." So I thought, boy, this is something I get to drive in a big Buick. I'd never driven in a big car like that before. So I got in and we started to drive across town. And I was expecting this big, smooth, wonderful ride in this big car after being bounced around in a Volkswagen. But it was really, really sluggish. And I thought to myself, well, these big cars aren't all cracked up to be what they're cracked up to be. They aren't. And we drove, and it's slow pickup from the light and slow going. It didn't seem to want to go too fast. So I wasn't really impressed. And we got to Nancy's Aunt Lizzie in Dearborn, and we got out of the car, and as soon as we opened the door, we knew what the problem was. Terrible stink of rubber. I had driven across town with the emergency brake on. So that was before we were married. I'm glad we were able to get married after that. My dad was fussy with his cars. But the emergency brake was on, and it stunk to high heavens. And you see, my father-in-law, he came from Pittsburgh, and they lived on a hill. And every time they parked, especially in the winter, every time they parked on a hill, they would turn the tires in and step on the emergency brake. Me, I've never, ever used an emergency brake in my life. So the last thing I think of when I get into the car, I think about putting it in drive. I don't think about emergency brakes. So I burned this whole braking system out. But isn't that what we do in our lives? You see, yesterday's problems and yesterday's difficulties, we put the emergency brake in drive. And it's sluggish. And it's not what it's supposed to be. And it's tedious work, and it's tiring. And we lose before we start because we're dragging yesterday's problems and anticipating tomorrow's difficulties and dragging them into today. And our day can become pretty lousy. And Jesus says, this is the day. These hard days. These days when nothing seems to go right. This is the day I made for you. Let's be glad and rejoice in it. And we can't do that if we load it up with yesterday's problems and tomorrow's anticipated problems and drag them into today. But that's not to say that we shouldn't drag some stuff from yesterday and some stuff from tomorrow into our days. For the Lord instructs us in Philippians to think on good things and think on wholesome things. And so when we begin to look into our past, it's not the disappointments and the worries and difficulties we drag. It's the things that God has done in the past. And we say, wow, I want them to be part of today. And when we think of heaven and what's ahead of us, and we have sorrows, but what God has promised, and God has told us there's so many things that are so wonderful that I can't even begin to describe them, those are the kind of things we want to drag forward into today. Yesterday's blessings when we saw God at work, God doing marvelous things. And if we're Christians and walk in life very long, we've all had days in which we've just said, wow, impossible except for the grace of God. We've all had those experiences. God has just done the absolute impossible, unthinkable things. The children of Israel had those experiences. But they didn't drag them into their days. They saw the Red Sea open. Wow. Imagine that. Standing on the sea with nowhere to go. The enemy here, and we're here, and we don't have any options, and God opens the sea, and they go through. And you know what? They didn't drag that experience into their successive days because it was only 3 or 4 days later when they said, we're in this wilderness. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And when God gave them water from the rock, wow, in a desert, water from the rock, if you were planning on that, that would be the zero thing that you would think of. You would think maybe of digging here or looking here. But water from a rock, come on, who does that? Well, God does that. And those are the things that they should have been dragging into today. And the blessings of God we should drag into the day so that before we wake up and before the day starts, we have a good day because God has been good in the past. And we have a good day because God has plans for us, and we drag that into the day. And it's a wonderful day before it starts. But we don't do that. We drag all the muck and all the worries. And our day is ruined before it even gets started. This is the day, says the Lord, that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Now, when I preach, I'm usually more convicted, I think, than anybody else, and I preach on subjects that are near and dear to my heart, and I don't tend to drag bad stuff from before into my life. But my problem is that I look to the future and drag my worries of the future into my life. That's my problem. And I grew up in a home where getting things done was paramount. And you were responsible. And you made plans. And always tomorrow was going to be better than today because we planned it and we worked for it and we sought for it. And so the focus, instead of for me on being today, was on tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be better. Tomorrow I'll be sharper. Tomorrow business will be better. Tomorrow this and that. Nancy and I were talking the other night, and I was going over things in my mind about what happened. And, well, 10 years ago, well, I said, well, 10 years ago, I was working here. And 20 years, oh, yeah, I remember 20 years ago, I was working over here. And 25 years, yeah, I worked for this different company over here. And Nancy says, wait a minute. Life is more important than where you work. But you see, I'm so tied to work. And with Nancy, it's family. And it's events. A woman is more, and this is maybe a cop-out, a woman is more oriented to that. But that's no excuse. And we become so focused on tomorrow and what's going to happen. And we're going to be better. That we forget about today, don't we? This is the day that the Lord has made. This is it. And we should be glad, not in tomorrow. Tomorrow we can rejoice again, but we should be glad in it today. And so this is a problem for me. And it spoke to me, wait a minute, is my life focused on what I'm going to do and my ambitions and my desires and so focused, and I'm wired that way, and it's wrong. We should live and rejoice today. And tomorrow we can do the same thing, and the next day. And we can have a wonderful life because God provides each day. And how do we do that? Number one is that we don't focus so much on ourselves. And we tend to focus on, this is what I want to do. This is my list. This is my agenda. And we don't take time to enjoy it, do we? Because we go from one thing to another. And if you're not wired that way, that's wonderful. I wish I wasn't. But we tend to lose sight of the day in which we live. This is the day, today, that the Lord has made. And if we change our focus from ourselves to others, what a wonderful way to improve our day. Because we're not worried so much about what we want to do today. We're worried about someone else. And speaking kindly to someone else, and they're focused on their need. And you know what? When we focus on others, at the end of the day, we've had a good day, haven't we? We've had a good day. Because the Bible says life doesn't consist of the things that we have. And when our focus is on others, we end up having a good day. And when our focus is on God and on His mercy and on His grace and of his oversight in our lives and of his direction in our lives. Grace, oversight, direction, God. When our focus is there, then every day can be a great day, can't it? Because our God is a great God. And if our focus is on him and on others, then every day will be a good day. Let's make it a good day. And let's not, while we're doing that, let's watch out for the blackbirds that fly overhead with smiles on their faces. Let's give thanks. Our Father, we are humbled this morning because so much of our day and our time is focused on ourselves. And we worry about what's going to happen, and we worry how we're going to make it through. And Lord, granted, there's some folks going through some very trying times. And we don't deny that or minimize it. Some difficult times. And we just don't know what to do. Some folks have lost loved ones of years and years of living together. And the dirt on the cemetery is still fresh. And the side of the bed is still empty. And Lord, these are difficult days. But these are days which you have made. And we pray that we may drag into those days the last days of blessing, the days when God did marvelous things. And we will think of the days to come, the things that God prepared. And we will drag these into today. And by doing so, it will be a great day. And that we may focus on others and rejoice in what we have in God. And who knows, but this day, great day, might lead to another. And to another. And to a month of great days. And to a year. And to a lifetime that we can look back and say, these are the days that God has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that you'll help us to do that, to focus more on others and more on God and on his mercy and grace as we commit this morning time to you, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.